Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is all of it. On October 17, 1968, in Mexico City, 24-year-old Olympic medalist Tommy Smith took his moment in the spotlight to raise awareness about the fight for human rights by raising his gloved fist to the sky when the U.S. national anthem was played during the medal ceremony. His teammate John Carlos did the same. Afterward, they were not greeted with accolades for being on the forefront of civil rights. They were booed, and the Olympic Committee suspended the duo, which means they had to leave Mexico right away. In the years that followed, Tommy Smith tried to make a living, tried to start a family, but he was haunted and hounded by the moment. He couldn't find work, his family was harassed, he did find solace at the bottom of a bottle of wine. And even when he was well into his career as a coach, he had a little visit from the FBI. In the new documentary, Withdrawn Arms, filmmakers and artists Glenn Kino and Afshin Shahidi allow Smith to tell his story in depth. Here's a clip from the film of Tommy Smith, now in his 70s, describing his intentions at that moment. And the soundtrack to this is the national anthem, performed by Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea.
For 50 years, everyone has viewed that fist as black power. It was from a youth who believed that it was a stand for human rights from a black man.
And the film also follows Kiner's project with Tommy Smith to tell his story and the story of the black athlete as activist through art installation pieces that made up a show that ultimately opened at one of the country's finest museums, the High Art Museum in Atlanta. The film explores a direct line from Tommy Smith to Colin Kaepernick, who's still unemployed in the NFL as a quarterback for his protesting of police brutality against black Americans, highlighting how much has and has not changed in 50 years. Withdrawn Arms is the opening night film at the Hamptons International Film Festival, and director's Glenn Kino. Hi, Glenn. Are you there? And Afshin Shahidi
Hello?
Joins me as well. Afshin, are you there?
Hello, we're on.
Oh, you're on. You're on the air. You're
on.
Live.
Yep.
So, Glenn, hey.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
So, in the film, you say you were a little obsessed with this image of Tommy Smith's raised fist before ever even meeting him. What appealed to you about it as a person and then also as an artist?
Well, as a person and an artist, I think what it stood for, you know, in my mind before I was able to unpack it with a almost decade long, you know, time spent with Tommy, you know, it stood for courage, and it stood for standing up, you know, in the face of adversity. I had that on a vision board. Actually, I had a little version of that, you know, 3x5 inch cutout taped to the corner of one of my computers that I would just see every day when I walked into my studio.
And Afshin, you're a photographer, a well-known photographer. As an artist, what did you want to explore about the power of a single image in this film? And also how people interpret image? Afshin, are you there? I think we're having trouble.
I know he was on because we were texting. So
okay,
maybe
so we'll let our
when I'm on.
We'll let our engineers work on that. Glenn, but what was your sense of Tommy's story before actually meeting him and hearing his version of why he protested the way he did? Glenn, are you there? We seem to be having
He was alive. I didn't know anything about him. You know, most of us, when we see archival images, particularly ones, and the one I had was in black and white, you see those images and you think, well, this is from a different era. you know, this doesn't relate to me. This is something that I learn about in order to construct a memory of what my past and our collective past was like. But you don't really understand how that, you know, affects us in real time. And, you know, for me to then unpack and find out that not only was he alive, but one of my friends who came over to my studio was actually one of his student athletes and wanted to introduce us was not only a shock, but, you know, the opening up of this whole journey. So.
Afshin, do we have you on the line?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you great. Glad to have you aboard.
Awesome.
I'd asked earlier, you know, because you're a photographer, a well-known photographer, I was curious what you wanted to explore in this film about the power of a single image and how people interpret an image.
Sure. Well, and I heard your question before I started answering it, but I guess you guys couldn't hear me. I was going to also just take it back because I'm from Iran. I'm an immigrant. I came to the United States from Iran, which in many ways is a very kind of repressive regime, and people don't have the opportunity to stand up and speak. And so that image for me, even as a kid and before I knew anything surrounding it, was a symbol of defiance and a symbol of it was revolutionary in that I couldn't imagine anyone in Iran being able to do that without serious repercussions. And then as I come to find out, as we explore the story, that Tommy also had serious repercussions in this country, which is supposed to be free and open and protests should be welcomed. And as Glenn said, you know, a single image has the power of making you believe things are possible. And I think that image for a lot of people, whether you know anything about Tommy or not, it's very powerful, and everyone brings their own meaning to it. And that's why, you know, Tommy says at the beginning, the clip you played, for 50 years, people have interpreted that image for whatever means they want. But he wanted to set the record straight with this film and make it more inclusive.
My guests are directors Glenn Kino and Afshin Shahidi. We're talking about the documentary Withdrawn Arms. So Afshin, Tommy's life was really hard when he returned. And during the course of this film, he gets emotional several times. What is at the core of that emotion?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of it is the recognition and the reliving. I don't know if he's relived the difficult times. I don't know if people have asked him about those times. You know, there is a lot of people when we took this film out to get it financed thought that they knew the story, thought that they had heard it all. And I think what happened in the course of the interviews that Glenn did with him so masterfully was he opened up this portal to the past that really brought those moments back for him and made it so real. Because I don't know if Tommy himself had explored those all that often. I think they had been packed away. You know, and when he talks to us about just the breakdown that he had, he's never spoken of it before. And I don't know if he's ever just gone there himself. So, like you said, there are many emotional moments, but I think it's a raw glimpse into his life and into his past.
Yeah. Glenn, Tommy, he had a mental break at one point. He was self-harming. He says that he was drinking too much. I want to know how much of that influenced the art that you started to make with Tommy, if at all.
Yeah, I think it definitely influenced it in that when we started to hear those stories, and we had suspicion, but once he confirmed them by really after we earned trust, him sharing those with us, you know, we realized that we had a responsibility to articulate how complicated he was as a human, you know, and everyone had seen him as this icon. And one of the biggest takeaways was he was sort of living this parallel life to Tommy Smith. He was trying to live up to what the image was and what he thought that the person, you know, the imaginary character that he made for himself, that the person who did that salute, the hero, you know, for civil rights, he was trying to live up to that civil rights icon image in his mind while he was trying to also juggle having a family, you know, and juggle all of his needs as a human. And, you know, what we tried to do in the artwork as well as in the film is, you know, to bring those two together and to show not only to him, but to the world that you know, life is complicated, and the people who are doing this even today, Colin Kaepernick and LeBron and everyone at all who sacrifices, you know, for a cause to put their body, their image, you know, their talent on the line. You know, these are not just one note situations. You know, there are a lot of repercussions and a lot of thoughts and ideas that go into these things.
Yeah, it's interesting in the film. Mm-hmm. So the film has got a little bit of the bio part of it, but then it's also following you, Glenn, and Tommy as you work together to sort of create art, not just around this moment, but it's also what this moment spawned and what this moment catalyzed. So when you sat down to talk to Tommy, people have told the story before in bits and pieces. But when you said, hey, I want to tell your story a bit through art, what happens after that? First statement. What are the next conversations with him?
Well, first it was a pretty long journey explaining to him what art meant for me, which was not just making a painting. You know, it was really going on a almost like a performative journey to unpack his story and then create sculptures, paintings, and, you know, photography artifacts of our time spent together that would, you know, manifest in artworks. And you know, once I got him over the idea that really I wasn't pitching him to do a project, I was pitching him, you know, just to figure out how to collaborate together. You know, he got very excited, and I think that one of the reasons that we learned when we were doing interviews with him was that, you know, he has like a very introspective soul. He very much conducts his self and thinks like an artist, which is why I think, you know, as well, the salute image was so not only well crafted but carried on for so long, because he allowed enough space in that image for people to apply themselves and to interpret themselves, which I think a lot of good artwork does. It allows people to bring themselves into the work. And so once we got through not only explaining what we were trying to do, but really after a few years earning the trust from him that we were going to, you know, be responsible stewards of his stories, then I think that you know, we were off to the races and got to, you know, no pun intended, really got to work.
And you pull it out bigger than just Tommy's story, although it's quite a dramatic and interesting story about the perception of the black athlete who wants to stand up for something. And there's this one piece that you create, Glenn, where you manipulate the cover of a magazine that says the angry black athlete.
Yeah.
And you start taking out words and manipulating that image. What did you want to do with that work?
Well, really, that is about context, and it's about understanding, you know, the layering that we subconsciously see as one, you know, mediated message. And so what you're referring to is a cover of Newsweek magazine that was published a few months before the Olympic Games. And Tommy Smith is on the cover, and it's Newsweek magazine, and it says in bold lines, the angry black athlete. And what I do in the work is sequentially distress reproductions of the image over a series, and in different cases I just remove one word. So when I remove black and so it says the angry athlete, I remove the word athlete so it says the angry black, and I remove, you know, sequentially over time until there's nothing there and you just see the picture of Tommy. And what happens is we get to see effectively the power of words as they're applied, you know, in a juxtaposition with an image, see how much our words carry influence and how we read a symbol. Because if you see Tommy by himself in that image, it's a very elegant, dynamic image of just, you know, a beautiful moment of an athlete, you know, at the top of his form, you know. And then once you see these words suppressed on it, you realize how encumbering our words are, mediated words are, you know, to the notion of how things are interpreted.
My guests are director Glenn Kino and Afshin Shahidi. We're talking about their documentary, With Drawn Arms. And Afshin, you approach people to be in this film, like soccer star Megan Rapinoe, to sort of bear witness to Tommy and to activism in sports now. And she just makes this really interesting point that, you know, she makes the same case as Colin Kaepernick, and yet she's celebrated and she's very straightforward about it. Did that come up naturally in the interview with her?
It did, and I think Glenn can speak to it better, but she was very open about that and just about what her white privilege has afforded her as an athlete to be able to stand up and speak up and not lose her job and her career and not to be you know, spoken about in a derogatory way by the president or other people in media. So it did come up naturally. She offered it herself, and I think it was a really excellent point.
And Glenn, I don't want to give too much away, but there are moments in the film when Tommy Smith finally gets some recognition. What meant the most to him, do you think?
Well, I would say in retrospect, I think that the entire journey that he's been on, you know, has been a series of revelations. And almost every time we've done and been participating in something revelatory or some, one of his dreams, he always says, you know, wow, this is what it is. And so the next, everyone is, the next one is always the next big thing. So I think that we have sufficiently taken his story excitedly to be a part of, you know, into the, he never dreamed that any of these things would happen. But I'd say, you know, visiting Washington was probably one of the most powerful ones that he's ever thought about.
The trip to the White House is kind of wild to watch.
Yeah.
My guests have been directors Glenn Kino and Afshin Shahidi. Their film is called With Drawn Arms. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.